Welcome to Simply by Deal HQ. On this podcast, we engage thought leaders on topical issues around law and business in the most simplistic manner.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 5 of Simply by Deal HQ. On this episode, we will be unpacking the critical elements of the recently enacted 2022 Appropriation Act. Whilst the federal government scores high for its perennial accomplishment of timely passage of the budget, many have criticized the national fiscal and economic plan as lacking creativity and depth required to deepen the real sector and pull the country out of its current economic crisis. My guest today is none other than the founding partner of Nairametrics, Mr. Ugochukwu Obechukwu, who a lot of you know as Ugodre. As is our custom on Simply, we will be unpacking critical elements of the budget, what it says about the economic policy direction of the federal government as the nation inches closer to its next election cycle, while helping our audience understand the fiscal and financial implications of the budget for businesses operating in Nigeria. Ugodre, thank you so much for joining us on Simply today. It's such an honor and privilege to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So again, without wasting any more time, we will dive right into the conversation, as I'm sure our audience is itching to get your perspective on the nation, the economy, and the general expectations for 2022. In spite of Nigeria's position as the largest economy in Africa, peer analysis shows that Nigeria's planned total expenditure of circa $40 billion is a significant far cry from countries such as South Africa, which has a budget of $147 billion, and Egypt with a budget of $318 billion. Does the expenditure plan reflect a true intention to achieve the much needed recovery from the impact of COVID-19 on our already volatile economy? Also, what does this say about the reality of our economic position in the continent?
Interesting question. So I guess, you know, one thing economists like to do is have a lot of, you know, relativity. That's, you look at a country's GDP or budget and try to equate it or relate it to that of other countries. But reality is, you know, Nigeria is what it is. Nigeria is Nigeria. Today, Nigeria's GDP, naira-wise, is about 170 trillion, just under $400 billion, slightly higher than that of South Africa, which incidentally is around maybe $320 billion. Nigeria's budget, as you very well know, is 17 trillion, and that's our 2022 budget. And if you look at that as a percentage of our GDP, we're probably around 10%. And that really has been what it's like for Nigeria for years. To respond to your question, that sort of also reflects the kind of economy that we have. As much as we are the largest economy in Africa, Nigeria is still relatively an informal market. Over half of the economy is basically informal. And so when it's informal, it makes it very difficult for revenue generation at the level that's commensurate, revenue generation that's commensurate with our level of GDP growth. To sort of occur. And if you compare Nigeria's economy with that of South Africa and even Egypt, as much as we are larger, they're quite a lot more sophisticated than our economy is. And that's why you see these sort of disparities. Another thing is capital formation, how capital is also formed in South Africa or even Egypt or even some other African countries in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, they have a lot more, their stock market is a lot larger than ours. Their banks are actually very robust. Interest rates is very low. And that's because the economy is a lot more structured. And then compared to Nigeria, where, like I said earlier, you have a lot of informal market. And these things all determine how governments generate revenue. If government is saying its budget is 17 trillion, or let's even assume government wants to match the sort of revenues that you're getting in South Africa, then you ask yourself, where are they going to get it from? It's probably going to be taxes. And we don't tax a lot. Tax to GDP ratio is under 7%, under 8% in Nigeria. So, which means there's a lot of money out there that we can get as a country. And that speaks again to my point that we are largely an informal market. So juxtapose that with a lot of the other issues we have in the country. And I mean, you understand why we really can't, you know, be at par with the likes of South Africa, or Egypt, or some of the other more, I don't know how to call it, advanced economies in Africa. Yes, you can be bigger as an economy by sheer size of our population or by sheer size of our market. It's likely that we're bigger. But in terms of how, you know, capital formation in Nigeria, it's just very minuscule compared to these other countries. And this is also a country that has relied, you know, heavily for years on mono product exports. The country has basically been driven by oil for decades. It's only recently that it appears, you know, maybe there's an effort to veer away from oil. Even at that, you know, it keeps dragging us back to oil. And oil, like you very well know, is a very, very small part of Nigeria's GDP. It's not even up to 10% of our entire economy. So when you look at all these things, then you start to realize that this is probably why, you know, you can't have our budget at the same level, our budget, federal government's budget, commensurate with, you know, the global or Nigeria's, GDP. Let me give you another context as well. Nigeria as a federation, our total revenue this year, 2022, total revenue, I'm not talking about FG revenue, the entire revenue accruing to the federal government, and that's, you know, federal, state, and local government, it's just over 10 trillion. Flashback 10 years ago, it was still about 10, 12 trillion. So all you're even seeing happening is that the budget is increasing, but revenue is not increasing. And that's why you keep seeing this huge budget deficit. And the reason why this is happening, like I said, is because we're largely an informal market. So it's very difficult for government to mop up revenue from, you know, various segments of the economy. And that's why you can, you know, it's difficult to compare us with countries like South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And actually, this sort of answers another question that I have. So although the 2022 budget of about 17 trillion naira does not measure up to, you know, the national budget of some other African countries, it is Nigeria's largest budget to date. But the question is, does this speak of an improvement in the Nigerian economy?
You know, it's a tricky question. I wouldn't say that. Okay, so every year for the last, is it 6 years or thereabouts, we actually had budget increases. Right, in terms of expenditure, we've had expenditure increases. You know, whether it's going from 7 trillion at some point to 10 and 14 and then 17. So we've typically had, you know, higher budget expenditure now. But how has that actually translated to improving the lives of Nigerians? I don't see that. It's not that simple. It doesn't really happen that way. And that's because of how a lot of this budget is also shared across various segments. So let me give you an example. Between 2010 and 2021. Okay, let me just say 2020. Between 2010 and 2020, right? We saw, in terms of total revenue that has accrued to this country, about 41 or so trillion. That is about 11 years. Now, so let's now break down how much we've spent in terms of debt service. We've done 17.8 in terms of personnel cost. And that's the one you call non-debt recurrent expenditures. But broken down to personnel costs, 22.9 trillion. And then you go into pensions and gratuities, 2.1, and you go into overheads, 8.7. Right. So if I add the non-debt recurrent expenditure, over the last 11 years, you're on 33.8 trillion. Okay, and now, but if you look at CapEx over that same period is at, you know, 14.7 trillion. So we're spending double or more than double what we're spending on CapEx for recurrent, non-debt recurrent expenditure. In fact, we're actually spending more on debt service compared to CapEx. So the point then is, in terms of maybe paying salaries, consumption expenditure, you know, overheads, paying bills, these all also add up to the economy. Yes, you can say budget-wise, there is an impact, but these things are all consumed within a year, and that's it. But if you're looking for expenditure that should generate revenue, right, that should generate pure revenue for the government, then we're not spending enough there. So we're just doing, you know, like I said, 14.7 trillion. Then if you want to look at it in terms of CapEx alone, yes, we've gone from spending 800 or so billion on CapEx in 2010, 2011, to over 2 trillion in 2019. And I think, you know, just slightly under that in 2020, which are actually huge growth, good numbers, but it's not just enough. So that sort of puts us in a bit of a state of flux. So I wouldn't say that, you know, the budget today, as high as much as it is now, is significant enough to really nudge this economy forward. I don't think so. And that, again, is because the budget as a percentage of our economy is still very small. So 10% as a percentage of your economy is pretty small, whereas you know, South Africa is doing a lot more than that. So to me, I don't think that 17 trillion, yes, you know, perhaps it's a step in the right direction in terms of, you know, the spend. It's still not enough for, you know, for this country. And mind you, if you break down that 17 trillion, you find out that capital expenditure did not even grow as much as we'd expect compared to non-debt recurrent expenditure and even debt service, right? It did grow, but not as much as you would expect. So that, to me, you know, is a concern. That's why it's difficult to be overtly optimistic about, you know, about this budget. CapEx, yes, I think, if I recall, maybe 5 trillion or thereabouts, almost more than double what we're doing. But then this is also, you know, we're getting into an election year. So it's one thing to say you want to spend 5.4 trillion or thereabout on CapEx, but can you actually back that up with some cash? Yeah, is it going to be cash back all through that year? It's difficult because, you know, like I said, in 2021, I think we're probably doing about 2020, we did about 1.9 or so. And 2021, we're slightly behind on our CapEx target. So I don't know. To answer your question directly, a step in the right direction, but I don't think that it's enough to get us out of the woods. It's not enough. We still have a long way to go.
Okay. Another question. Despite heavy criticism, which has trailed its perceived borrowing, which stood at a total of 33 trillion as at September 2021, and its ballooning debt profile, the federal government has disclosed plans to finance its budget deficit of about 6.2 trillion naira with internal and external debt, noting that the nation's debt remains within healthy and sustainable limit. So now there are two schools of thought on Nigeria habitually borrowing to fund its budget. One school of thought says it is necessary to revive the Nigerian economy because, quite frankly, we need money. And to be able to, you know, go on and be profitable, we're going to have to make some purchases and make some expenditures. Then the other school of thought says the borrowing simply sinks the nation further into debt, right? I mean, not much is happening with the funds that we've received so far. Why are we borrowing more? So what are your thoughts on the government habitually borrowing to fund its budget?
Budget deficits are not new globally. A lot of more developed countries and even developing countries, borrow to fund budget or have run budget deficits. But the question is, why do you run budget deficits? So you run budget deficits, one, either because you have revenue shortfalls, which can be temporary or endemic, or you have huge capital projects that you want to run in the short term, short to medium term, maybe based on the government's capital investment plans for the year or for a tenure. You could also run budget deficits because maybe due to pressures from labor and unions, you want to increase the finances of your citizens. It could be maybe through salary increases or massive recruitments at the government level. You can also run deficit because you also want to stimulate the economy, and so you think by stimulating the economy, you're going to create the sort of demand that you need to increase your GDP growth rate. So these would typically be why countries run budget deficits. So let's take them one by one. So for Nigeria, revenue-wise, like I mentioned earlier, we've had a huge challenge. And that's because of oil. And because we're, we don't earn a lot of money from taxes. So because you have revenue shortfalls, you also, unfortunately, you have increases in price on goods and services. So your expenditure would definitely go up, but your revenue is not growing in tandem as well. So over the last 8 years or so, before Jonathan, I think we're doing 3.2 trillion in revenue. And then we're doing about 4 trillion or thereabouts as of 2020. It's almost more than your entire revenue. So that is the problem so we have a pure revenue problem. Now, we also need to invest so that you can also, modernize your economy. And that's where CapEx comes in. So okay. You also need funds to fund your CapEx budget. So Nigeria also has that problem. And then, of course, there's no pressure by the unions. In fact, there actually is pressure by the unions as well, because you've seen minimum wage go from, I think, 18,000 to 30-something thousand or so. Yes. So somebody has got to fund that, isn't it? So, and that's because the unions are saying, look, inflation has risen by over 200% in the last decade or so. You've seen devaluation of the naira occur multiple times. So people's salaries cannot meet their expenditure. And so government also needs to increase their salaries. And so you've seen pressure by wages. So now, again, you see, that's why the government needs to meet that demand. And the last pillar that I also mentioned as well is the need to stimulate the economy. So government also needs to stimulate the economy when you're in a recession. And we've been in a recession a number of times. And so government to get out of recession would often need to spend, to be the big spenders in the economy. Interestingly, this is not even captured in the budget because the CBN currently does that. Then the last one would now be government trying to take away government continuing with some unfavorable policies. In as much as unfavorable from the point of view of analysts like us, but to the masses and to the public, it probably is in their best interest in the short term, even if it's not their best interest in the long term. And that is maintaining things like subsidies, whether it's subsidies for petroleum or subsidies for farmers and things like that. Excuse me. So government still spends in that direction. So if you add all these things together, it's just inevitable that you need to get fund your budget from borrowing, and you'd have budget deficits. And in case you don't know, since 2010, since we started tracking this data at Naira Metrics, since 2010, this country has run a budget deficit every year since 2010. It, however, got worse since 2015. And guess what? That is when oil prices crashed, and that is when we started to have major exchange rate issues. And between 2015 and 2021, we've had two recessions. And so if you have this sort of budget deficit and all the problems that I just painted, government just has no choice but to borrow. Absolutely no choice. Of course, you have to blame them as well for having the wrong policies, because they have enough time to institute policies that should help them increase the revenue on their own side. And that's purely the government's fault. But without the revenue increases happening, if you don't incur a budget deficit, then you're going to have an economy or a government that is grounded to a halt. And that is just a recipe for chaos. So that's my response to your question.
Okay, that's a fantastic response, because it leads to my next question. So out of the total expenditure framework for 2022, a significant 21%, which is about 3.6 trillion naira, has been reserved for debt service. And then we also know that out of the 6.2 trillion deficit, 80%, which is about 5.1 trillion, is to be funded by another loan. So the country, as you've said, needs to borrow, and it, in fact, continues to borrow. But what can the Nigerian government do to increase its revenue generation capacity and then reduce borrowing and consequently debt servicing?
Well, I think I kind of touched on some of that.
You had mentioned
earlier comments, but just to explain again for your listeners. If you can meet your expenditure in your household, maybe God forbid, but you can pay your child's school fees, you can pay rent, you can put food on the table. It just speaks to one thing: you gotta get a job, and that's so that you can earn revenue. But if you have a job and you still can't meet up, then you need to maybe get a raise your pay. Or get a job that can pay you more, or maybe get a side hustle or do a business that can give you money. That's just how it is, and that's it. That's how it is for government. You can also maybe cut your cost, just so that you can be above water. But then if you've cut it already and the cost that you're incurring are just the basic ones, then that speaks to revenue. So it's similar for Nigeria. Nigeria just needs to increase is revenue profile. It's just it is inconceivable that you have a revenue profile that is less than, I think it's even less than 3% or thereabouts of GDP. It just makes no sense. If your GDP is 170 trillion, like I said, and you're doing revenue. Let's even put revenue at 5 trillion or 6 trillion, like they have. Like they plan to in the current budget. What it's still relatively less than about 5% or thereabouts or something. So, how does a country fund expenditure? Does a federal government fund its expenditure with just 4% or at most 5%, if not much less, revenue compared to budget? And I'm not speaking to budget now, revenue compared to GDP. So it's really, really small, really, really small. Tax to GDP ratio, like I mentioned, is a huge problem. So government needs to, to broaden its tax base, not increase taxes, broaden its tax base. A lot more people need to come under the tax net, so that we can increase revenue, not overtax the people that are already paying tax, because that is also a disincentive to economic growth. And that's what the government is currently doing. So people that are even paying tax, they are overtaxing them. Now, what should happen really is tax the people that are currently not paying tax. Government also needs to diversify its own revenue sources. Currently, a lot of focus is on oil. So we need to diversify revenue sources to other areas as well, because Nigeria is a very blessed country with a lot of natural resources. Nigeria also needs to, the government also needs to focus on selling some assets that it doesn't need. There are not a lot of assets out there that it can sell that it probably doesn't need now. So we probably need to focus on selling a lot of those assets just to raise revenue. So this to me are just some of the things that the government can do. And of course, more importantly, like we've always said, government needs to grow the economy, bring in policies that can grow the economy and have drive economic growth. Because once you drive economic growth, then you can even start to drive on more tax revenue, and then have private sector involvement in a lot of stuff. And for me, maybe like people have always alluded to, if you want to solve capex problems, then you probably need to also allow private sector participation in government and capital expenditure. So whether it's through public-private partnerships or through allowing concessioning some of our capital projects to the private sector, that can also help reduce a little bit of burden on government. Today they will tell you Nigeria needs about $20 billion or thereabout, on capital expenditure, depending on which data or which research document you're reading. Which is, like you said, probably more than half of our entire budget. So that to me is probably really good. Easier said than done, like you said, but without doing any of this, I find it difficult for us to get out of this.
Okay. So I'm going to latch on to what you said about taxes. So once again, a Finance Act has accompanied the Appropriation Act. So now we have the Finance Act 2021. And like the preceding legislations, it aims to make specific changes to Nigeria's taxation framework. It expands the FIRS's tax collection reach. So for example, it introduces company income tax to lottery and betting companies. It introduces an excise duty of about 10 naira per liter on non-alcoholic carbonated and sweetened beverages. And it does not extend the income tax break companies have enjoyed in relation to debt instruments over the past 10 years. So there seems to be an increase in the amount of money, the FRS can receive or collect via tax. So what is the implication of the now yearly trend of tax policy modifications on Nigerian businesses?
Well, you can't eat your cake and have it. So if you have an economy where tax to GDP ratio is less than 7%, in fact, probably less than 4%, depending on what number you're looking at, then the government would typically want to increase taxes. Now, I don't support tax increases. What I support is broadening the tax net, number of people that we are taxing. But the government has chosen to go this route. So let's focus on what they're taxing. And the challenge I have with the decision to to impose the sugar tax, and then of course tax capital gains on sale of shares, is that the government hasn't actually provided enough useful data telling us or showing us how much they intend to get from imposing these taxes, and what these taxes or what these revenues are going to be used for. So are you increasing sugar tax because you want to use the money to fund research into obesity? That's if we have an obesity problem. Are you imposing sugar tax because we want to use the money to fund hospitals? So what exactly are you imposing these taxes on? And let's not forget that we recently just increased, in fact, a year ago, this time last year was when we moved from 5% VAT to 7.5%. So to me, I you can understand why the government is under pressure to increase taxes. But you know, the way they are going about it now, it seems like they're clutching on straws. And I don't think that, you know, this is the way to go. Now, would it have an effect on businesses? Yes, tax increases typically have effects on businesses. Now, to what extent, you know, will be difficult to know. And that depends on how the government is able to tax a lot of these companies. Most of these taxes, by the way, would be passed on. We pass through taxes. Expect the companies to pass the taxes on to consumers. But I don't expect, personally, I haven't run the numbers, but from what I know, going through company results and doing a lot of analysis, I don't see a significant dent on their bottom line, and that's because I think, you know, for the sugar taxes, Nigerians will continue to consume, you know, sweet beverages. That's not going to stop. We've seen price increases over the last 2 years, more than we've seen in the decade before. And yet, a lot of the consumer goods companies still reported record, you know, profits. And some were, even during the pandemic years, were able to still withstand, you know, the pressure and still posted, you know, slightly lesser than expected dip in revenues. Some even, you know, published, posted profits. So there would be an impact, but I think probably a muted impact. The only problem is that I just think this is just government clutching at straws, and this is, you know, a decision that they probably shouldn't have made, and perhaps maybe the next government that comes in might reverse it.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about capital expenditure. So we've already established that the capital expenditure, or the budget for capital expenditure, is less than the current expenditure, but we still want to look into where the money is going. So based on the budget itself, we've seen that some of the largest allocations go to the Federal Ministry of Works and Housing. This is about 470 billion naira. The Federal Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development, this is about 285 billion naira. Defense, this is about 204 billion naira. The National Population Commission, about 180 billion. The Federal Ministry of Education, about 159 billion. The Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, about 153 billion naira. The Federal Ministry of Finance, Budget and National Planning, about 145 billion naira. The Federal Ministry of Water Resources, about 130 billion. And then the Federal Ministry of Health, which is about 130 billion naira as well. So all of these are the allocations that are over 100 billion naira. So judging by where, or the ministries that the money is going, what does it say about the government's attitude towards economic growth through capital expenditure?
So the government has always been focused on works and housing in terms of where a lot of its capital expenditure is going to. For Nigeria and its current state of development, the government would typically tell you that building roads, you know, bridges, rail lines, housing, you know, these are things that when you do, often points to success or, you know, work being done by government, and that's why you're seeing a lot of all this. You see a lot of its expenditure tilting to works and housing. You also see security as well, and you know, taking a chunk of our government's, you know, the budget expenditure, and that's also because you know, we face an existential threat in terrorist activities by the likes of Boko Haram. So that as well, that also is not is not a surprise by any means. So again, for more, you know, purpose driven countries, or for countries that maybe have a sense of you know, strategy in terms of how they're going about their development, or maybe long term strategy, you would see a lot of the expenditure go to areas where they think that they need a lot more reforms, or where they want, you know, where they want their economy to be driven by. So that we've often talked of, we've often talked about healthcare, education, as, you know, areas where you would expect the government, you know, to want to spend, you know, a lot more money, because these are investments that any economy needs as part of nation building. But education is getting probably 160 billion or thereabouts. Federal Ministry of Health, you know, 130 billion. So if you compare capital expenditure for Ministry of Education, for example, and you want to compare that to, let's say, National Population Commission, because of course there's going to be a census. They plan to have a census this year. National Population Commission is doing 180 billion. In Ministry of Education, 160 billion. So point is, the government is probably more focused on this year on census and counting people than you know, on education. And of course, health is even, you know, worse at 130 billion. So for an economy that is looking to grow, should we be looking a lot more at spending on the healthcare sector, or is the government thinking, oh, you know what, maybe you have the private sector covering a lot of these areas anyway, so what's the point? Then in terms of investing in science and technology, government capital expenditure here is 150 billion as well. So you look at it, and then of course, more importantly, again, like my point, which is government will probably move its revenue towards where, you know, areas in the economy that is a priority to them. Today, the Ministry of Agri and Rural Development, government plans to do about 250 billion there as part of its capital expenditure for 20, based on 2022 budget. So that's the government's plan. Not too much of a departure from what they've been doing. I guess the issue now is that, has this worked? Has this really helped in pulling the economy out of the doldrums of stagflation, or, you know, stunted economic growth? I don't think so. We haven't actually seen that. Perhaps maybe it's not even enough. Like we said before, if your capital expenditure budget is not robust enough to drive the economy, no matter how much you appropriate to any aspect of the capital expenditure budget, then it's not going to be robust enough. So to me, I think that really is where the challenge is. I'm not too fixated on how much you're spending on Ministry of Works and all these other ministries of government. It does for 470 billion or so on the Ministry of Works. Is it enough? That's just $1 billion. And these are works and housing, and Nigeria needs, like I said, over $20 billion or thereabouts in infrastructure development. So we're probably just doing 5% of what we need to move this country forward on initial work. So I look at it from that perspective, and I say, look, really relevant to me.
Wow, that is a very humbling thought. It really is. Okay, so this is going to be my last question. Now we're just going to speak widely about, you know, the African context. So we have said that we're not making enough money, right? And then there's the AFCFTA, the African Continental Free Trade Area, which is meant to effectively remove all borders for intra-African trade. So based on the budget allocates about 1 billion naira towards its implementation. So this is 437 million naira more than the allocation of last year. So following statistics alone, it seems the Nigerian government has expressed, you know, we need drive to speed up its implementation and potentially, you know, get this show on the road and possibly make money for one, Nigerian businesses, and then the government itself. But what specific measures would you like to see the government implement, you know, towards the implementation of AFCFTA?
You know, The thing with the African free continental free trade agreement is there's still a lot of work that the government needs to do before we even start to get the benefit of this very important treaty, from better, you know, equipping our custom agents to better guard our borders and ensure that and goods that are coming in here comply with AFCFTA rules, to spending a lot of money on the technology that we need to also properly track movements of goods and services in and out of this country. We also need to spend a lot of money on education research for, you know, companies, organizations that are going to, you know, face stiff competition from goods from you know, fellow African countries. We also need to put some grants also for, you know, local mushroom companies to also have the right capacity to produce, not just for local consumption but for export. We're still far off, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done for Nigeria to be, you know, well set for AFCF, you know, TA. Even our ports, you know, port congestion and all the issues that we have with our ports, all those things need to be sorted out, you know, as well, if you want to be able to compete in terms of export logistics issues within and outside Nigeria, needs to be sorted out. Someone would tell you that it's probably easier for you to export something to Benin Republic or Ghana than to move something from Nigeria to Kano. Right. So, you know, these are all issues that we will need to address for AFCFTA to be of advantage to Nigeria. There's a lot of opportunities in there. We have a very huge economy. Nigerians as well will benefit from it because, you know, cost of goods and services would likely drop because of competition and the fact that there will be a lot of substitutes coming in. Now, but at the same time, it also you know, opens Nigeria up to a huge market. Regardless of who you are, even if you're a lawyer, it means that you can, you know, your services can also be provided to, you know, to companies in Gabon or Sierra Leone or Ghana or Morocco, so, or any of the countries that are part of AFCA or Rwanda. So I haven't seen the breakdown of what they want to use the money for. $1 billion is not a lot of money in the context of what needs to be done. That would be my opinion on this subject.
Okay. So this has been an amazing 30 plus minutes, getting insights into the Appropriation Act and its likely effect on businesses in Nigeria. So thank you very much for making our time to join us today, Gudre. And to you out there for being our fabulous, fabulous audience. So please remember that the conversation continues in our social media handles. Remember to send us your comments, thoughts on today's episode. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is brought to you by Deal HQ Partners. To find out more about our services, visit www.dealhqpartners.com. See you on the next episode.